Welcome to Skeptic Meditations, where we explore the hidden side of yoga, meditation, and mindfulness. I am your host, Scott. Coming up, episode number 003, Paradoxes of Eastern Enlightenment. The teachings and techniques of enlightened masters contain many paradoxes or contradictions. We discuss how these paradoxes undermine reason and self-trust. While reason has limits, degrading reasoning as inferior to feeling or obeying authority is an assault on followers' thinking and feeling for themselves. We explore how to integrate reason and feeling to better understand personal experience and self. You can read the episode notes and more at skepticmeditations.com. Please email me your comments and questions to Scott@skepticmeditations.com. Now, on to the episode. Paradoxes of Eastern Enlightenment. The teachings and techniques of enlightened masters contain many paradoxes and contradictions. For instance, be desireless. Desire to be desireless. Desiring to be desireless is desire. Be non-attached. Attached to be non-attached. Attaching to enlightened masters, techniques, and practices is attachment. And in this post by enlightened, we mean some purported state of superconsciousness or attainment of a supposed superior, higher, or supernatural state of awareness, sometimes called nirvana, samadhi, satori, depending on the tradition. Be humble. When the disciple tries to be humble, she is not, because trying to be humble, seeking some kind of personal reward or accumulating merit, is contradictory to the ideal of humility. Be selfless. Self-absorbed to be selfless. Absorbing oneself within or practicing meditation techniques is being self-absorbed. Seeking to gain enlightenment or spiritual advancement is self-centered, self-absorbed. Labeling goals or techniques, such as meditation, as spiritual doesn't somehow make them selfless, remove self-seeking, desire for gain, and so on. The enlightened master is selfless, egoless. The master lives lavishly. For instance, drives Cadillacs, lives in expensive apartments, has many servants. How would master or students know the master doesn't harbor unconscious, hidden, selfish desires or motives? The master's, God's, love is unconditional. If you leave, stop following him, you will be lost or damned. For seven lifetimes, eternity, or go to hell, be lost in delusion, Maya, and so on. The enlightened master is one, united with everything. Or, the one is the many. If the master and everything is one, united, how is any individual part superior or inferior than any other? Seek your higher self, or God, by following the enlightened master's teaching and techniques. Seeking enlightenment, or God, is instilled in you from an external authority, a teacher, or tradition. An external authority, not yourself, along with the authority's particular teachings and techniques, are required to validate yourself, your thoughts, feelings, and experiences. Failure to question paradox undermines reason. Most disciples learn to gloss over or think nothing of the paradoxes or contradictions in the Eastern enlightened traditions or teachings. Students assume the authority of an enlightened master is perfect or infallible. Followers seldom, if ever, question the paradoxes and contradictions within their own particular master's teachings or tradition. It's fairly easy for disciples to find fault and contradictions in other outside teachers or teachings and techniques. Yet seekers after enlightenment fail to use the same outsider scrutiny and skepticism towards their own particular master, authority, or tradition. Failing to question paradoxes and logical contradictions in one's own path undermines reason and suppresses analytical thinking. The response from master or disciple, what they are really saying to paradoxes. The enlightened masters and their students will often poo-poo, dismiss lightly or contemptuously anyone who points out the problems with their paradoxes by responding, "You cannot possibly understand from your limited human consciousness." Only an enlightened master or advanced student can really know, because the paradox is beyond reason. You just have to trust the authority of the master or tradition. Another response, "If you were enlightened, you would see my master, teacher, or guru is enlightened, and his teaching or tradition is infallible or perfect." What they're really saying, it's your ego or intellect that is getting in the way of your understanding and believing in the master, teaching, or tradition. If you entertain doubts or uncertainty, you need to meditate more, or practice more, or surrender, or have more faith, and it will all be okay. It will work out in the end, because you can trust this authority, this tradition. It's perfect, and the tradition and the master understands you better than you understand yourself. Your ego or intellect is preventing you from knowing the truth, the master, God, or ultimate reality. What they are really saying, anyone who has not attained superconsciousness or who is superior, that is, enlightened or fully illuminated, must surrender to the claims. Even though it requires lesser mortals to take the claims on hearsay, that is, secondhand, from the supposed authority of the master or tradition who claims firsthand experience or superior knowledge. Paradox invoked to end inquiry. Paradoxes are invoked to end inquiry. Used to undermine reason, paradox lends itself to psychological manipulation. Reason has its limits, but degrading reasoning and reifying certain feelings and intuitions is an assault on students' thinking for themselves. Integrating reason and emotion are requirements for self-trust and for interpreting personal first-hand experience. Paradoxes are invoked to confuse, undermine reason, and to manipulate followers. For instance, confuse and disorient. Paradoxes are designed to confuse and disorient followers, to dismantle critical analytical thinking. Indeed, some students may have breakthroughs from patterns of past thinking. However, the credit for good experiences is then given to the master or his teachings, while the blame for bad is attributed to failings of the student. Manipulate and control. The contradictions and paradoxes are positioned as descriptions of ultimate reality. If students don't experience the reality described, then it is purported to be the failings of the student, not the teacher or tradition. Invoke surrender, obedience to authority. After getting confused, it is fairly easy for student to be manipulated and to follow the prescribed path as laid out by the authority, tradition, or group. Disciples seek comfort in the promises and certainty of the authoritative and charismatic teacher, teaching, or tradition. It's fairly easy then to surrender to gain the promised for happiness, love, or enlightenment that supposedly results from obeying and following the teaching and techniques as laid out by the external authority. question enlightened masters and their paradoxes. Seeking to be desireless is desire. To be selfless is to be self-absorbed. And to be non-attached is attachment to subtle, pernicious, spiritualized, selfish desires and attachments. Disciples who fail to question the paradoxes are convinced the authority teacher or teaching is perfect, infallible. When anyone points out contradictions or paradoxes with the authority teacher or tradition, responses often include, "You cannot understand from your limited human consciousness." Paradoxes are used to undermine reason. While reason has limits, degrading reasoning as inferior to feeling or obeying authority is an assault on the follower's thinking and feeling for themselves. It undermines self-trust. It fills followers with mistrust of self, reason, and personal experience. The integration of reason and emotion are necessary for self-trust and to interpret one's own first-hand experience. Paradoxes are used to undermine self-trust. In Eastern Enlightenment tradition, finding fault with oneself, blaming failings on self or ego, is often used to manipulate and control followers. It fills followers with self-doubt and fear of self while handing over responsibility to external authority. The Eastern tradition of enlightenment, based on the master-disciple relationship, without integration of reason or feeling and development of analytical thinking, is infantile and immature. A mature approach that is integrating reason and feeling is to acknowledge your personal first-hand experience as you see it, not as some external authority tells you you should. On the path of Eastern Enlightenment, it is the external authority that defines the path, the goal, and the reality that you should experience. Follow foremost your reasoning and feeling, not some external authority. We grow by taking responsibility for our thoughts and feelings, not by surrendering them to some external authority who claims to know what is best for us. What do you think of the paradoxes and contradictions of Eastern Enlightenment traditions? Please share your comments on the blog or email me at scott@skepticmeditations.com. And you can find the episode notes, articles, and resources at skepticmeditations.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time.